This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Well, how exciting is this? This is our very first show of Urban Dreamer. You excited?
Oh, man, I can't, like, I'm honestly, like, nervous, excited, shitting myself, basically. But also right. Knowing that we've got a deadly show coming up, of course.
Absolutely.
And I cannot thank you enough for being a part of this, my friend, of many years,
excited.
Actually.
You know, I put my best lippy on, I've got my stilettos on, I've got my beehive wig in the studio, my glitter, all my bling. And you're looking very fabulous yourself in your tuxedo, I must say.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so
I try.
Rummy for your first show.
Please, a tuxedo. Just bought this from down the bloody cheapo Lowe's, actually, for $25.
Amazing what you can get in Melbourne.
Okay, so we were going to start off with an intro, but we still yet to, make that happen in regards to making it sound deadly. But we'll just say Womajeka.
Yeah, Womajeka, everyone.
Welcome to Urban Dreaming, actually. I hope you can all hear us okay. I'd like to begin, before we do, to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign people of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nation, in which we work, live and broadcast, including a special shout-out to
all of our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI community.
That's right. So important.
Absolutely.
So how's it going anyway, beautiful? You've been pretty flat out, haven't you?
Oh, gosh, I've been like run off my stilettos. Let me tell you, I've just been, you know, it's been so busy here in Melbourne town. This time of the year, I don't know about you, but it just seems that I can't believe it's August. How did that happen?
It's time
like,
flies.
You know, time flies, and I'm like, you know, I moved here in January from Darwin, so I've you know, I have lived here before, but I love living here, this part two of Miscellaneous's adventure. And look, it's been such a great journey being in Melbourne and being a part of this a fabulous community. Just this weekend, I had the privilege of being at Greyhound's final dragnet competition, which is a pageant for all of the queens here in drag kings and drag queens here in Melbourne. And it was a really special and quite an extraordinary final. I think there were over 17 contestants that were a part of it. And, of course, Lazy Susan took out the final. She was an incredible winner.
Lazy Susan.
Lazy Susan,
what
yes.
a name. That's
yeah,
great.
She's fabulous. And, you know, the reigning queen of 2016, Asia Buffet, was there as well to hand over the crown. And, you know, I must admit, one great thing about this community here is that it does really respect drag and you know, drag and drag kings, drag queens, bio queens now. And it's such a welcoming community. And, you know, I give credit to all the girls that are out there and, you know, because your community is only as strong as the people that are a part of it. And, you know, there's not a lot of, I haven't come across a lot of bitchiness. There's a lot of, you know, sass. But, you know, we like sass as drag queens. But, you know, this community is quite special and it's been such a great privilege to be a part of it since January. But I've been like run off my stilettos, but you know, there's lots more I'll tell you about later in the show. But yeah, there's heaps going on. So Rummy, what about you?
Well, I guess I just wanted to talk about what the show is really going to be about.
Yeah.
And for those who've never heard about what we're doing, Urban Dreaming, it's basically about finding your own voice, finding your spirit no matter where you are, no matter where you go, which we've created a platform through the arts and music industry to bridge the gap between two worlds of black and white, gay and straight, traditional and modern, giving a mob a chance to tell their stories of survival and resilience from the movers and shakers of the industry right down to everyday people. Because for too long, our people of the First Nations have been misrepresented and subjected to negative stereotypes. And I find this problem is, you know, that's by reiterating negative stereotypes. And in order for us to basically move on, we need to put a stop to this and start trying to see the light, because a lot of the stuff can bring back, you know, can actually fuel prejudice and misconceptions, racism, racism and ignorance. And if anything, the more we see the light in our communities, the more we're able to invest in making these positive changes and to maybe start taking counsel from leaders of these communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's, you know, as you said, it's a really great platform that we've got. And, you know, there's not a lot of we've got Black, White and Rainbow that's on this incredible channel, Joy 94.9. But, you know, there's not a lot of platforms and voices for us and our community. And I think, you know, for you taking this on, I think it's really great. And look, I'm really excited about where we're going to go with this. And, you know, most of all, I would like to, you know, ensure that, you know, at the same time we're entertaining, but we're also tackling, you know, those really difficult topics and conversations that people aren't having. And, you know, and that it's important that it's coming from us, you know, it's coming from Blackfellas, which is great.
Exactly. So what do you have lined up for tonight?
Well, look, everyone out there, we've got such a great show. We're going to be chatting to Katie Beckett, who is an extraordinary actress and playwright. She's been on Redfern Now, amongst other things, and she's currently in an Obituary Theatre Company play with Mr. Tony Briggs, who is an esteemed actor himself, who is just recently been on Clever Man. He was the father in Clever Man.
Yes, Big Hairy Man.
Big Hairy Man. And, you know, he's so talented. That he's also, he was the writer of Sapphires, the play, and also the screenplay. Brilliant. So he's a very talented man. So we've actually caught up with them, or you caught up with them actually, because they're in rehearsals for their for Which Way Home, Katie's show. And we're going to be talking about also tonight about, you know, the Dondale Detention Centre and the rallies that were happening. And I'm going to be talking about the NIMA Awards, which are the National Indigenous Music Awards, happening in the Top End, where I will be hosting them for SBS TV, which is very, which is very camp. We've got a huge big dance competition happening in Sydney, and we're going to be crossing live, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kimberleys.
To the Kimberleys.
Where
the
Suri Kimberleys will be, Sir Rummy will be chatting to. I just called you by your real name, your boy name.
My boy name. This is my boy name mix, I guess. I've had to make another AKA, I guess, because different shows.
Yeah, you have a lot of names though, so I get confused myself. But we're going to be crossing to the Kimberleys. And you know, there's so much, we've got so much, you know, music of course, and you know, to rock your socks and your chullies off.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Kathy Freeman and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are, Joy 94.9, and on Urban Dreaming, actually, the very first show for the evening with my co-host, Miscellaneous.
Hi, Bujus.
So, yeah, that song just then was Christine Arnoux with Sunshine on a Rainy Day. And unfortunately, it is a rainy day, but we still have a bit of sunshine in our rainy days.
We do, yes. But I think this week's apparently going to be all wet and rainy, is it?
Ooh, you like it wet, don't you?
I do like it wet, yes. But not like this, actually.
Yeah, well, can you mention just briefly about
So as I mentioned before, we've got Obituary Theatre Company's got a new work called Which Way Home by Katie Beckett, which is premiering this month, and that's in partnership with Derebin Art Speakeasy, Obituary Theatre Company, and written, as I said, written by Katie Beckett. It's performed by Katie Beckett and Tony Briggs with director Rachel Mazza. So this premieres from the 25th of August to the 3rd of September. It starts at 8 p.m. and the Sunday shows are at 5, and it's at Northcote Town Hall. The story basically, it's about a girl who's a long way from home, the wide streets, a big old house of Tasha's childhood, two black faces in a very white suburb. Dad still thinks he's the king of cool, but he's an old fella now.
I'm here with
now.
Tony Briggs and Katie Beckett, and we're in there already.
Oh, we're in there. Here we go.
Here we go. In film, television, and, of course, the theatre industry. Currently, they are both working on the show Which Way Home, a show about a young girl and her dad who are coming home to country. It's written by Katie Beckett herself and acting in it too, Too Deadly, with supporting actor Mr. Tony Briggs himself. How's it going?
I would say quite good, and I wouldn't say that Tony's a supporting actor. I think he's the star and the main actor because he plays... Yeah, you do. He plays the dad, which is, like, yeah, a huge role.
I see. Now I thought she was playing the dad. swapping roles around.
I actually was.
So Now, Katie, just going back, we met a few years ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Yellow Monday, but it was actually through Brand New Day.
And which you, I never got.
No, but you were close to getting the lead role, which Jessica took, which was, you know, pretty cool because she's representing as well.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
it had singing in it, and I'm an actor and I cannot sing. Well, I can pretend to sing right now. I say it's kind of not good.
But, you know, they did use other people's voices for Rocky McKenzie as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go. So yeah. It didn't really matter, I think. In general, you know, one door closes, another one opens. And Since then, I've known you. You've been doing a lot of stuff since then. And I see your beautiful face everywhere, from Red Fern Now right through to all these different theatre productions. To name a few, there was Pull My Strings, I Will Play For You.
Yeah, actually, that was when I was pregnant during that time, and I just had my baby then, and it was a very interesting process to be pregnant and have a kid, and it was with one of my friends who's Polish, and it was actually great to learn about the world, to know actually Polish people have a lot of similarities with Indigenous and Aboriginal people in terms of they had a lot of constrictions and the way that they were treated by the government and stuff. So it was really an interesting learning process.
Did you learn how to say bogajin and the word pregnant for blackfellas from my country? But what do they say in Poland?
I don't know.
There you go.
I can't speak any other languages, so don't ask me.
But funny you said that, Tony, because you actually do speak a bit of language on Clever Man. Your character is Bundy.
Bundy, yeah.
And we hear there's also the second series coming out for Clever Man.
Apparently. I'm hoping to be able to return, but nothing's been confirmed for anyone at the moment, at this stage. But, they are putting feelers out and auditioning for new characters, for the new scripts and, fresh faces. Because it's sci-fi, they can pretty much do anything with it. So bring people back to life. Kill them 1 second, bring them back to life. We saw it in the first series, So it's fun. It's fun. It's a fun genre, I think.
Also, I just think that we should mention for any of the blackfellas out there that there's those 6 internships that the Clever Men are offering, with the arts department and everything that, which is pretty exciting if you want to get behind the scenes. Mm.
That's a good good point there, Katie. I was actually just reading that the other day. Just wanted to mention also that Katie has also done a lot of work specifically through theatre and, of course, through Red Fern Now. And your latest gig that you said you just recently finished, can you tell us more?
I did my first American show, which I'm so... It's a HBO show called The Leftovers, and I got to work with this guy called... Oh, God, what's his name? Well, he played Senior. Also, I'm a huge Whovian, so the Ninth Doctor was in. I was like, oh, my God, tick. Also, I got to work with Maine White. He was on Neighbours and stuff, and he's such a cool guy. So it was another WA fella.
Yeah, represent Tremaine. He's deadly. And also, just to speak more about your show, because you did write this play, and you're working in conjunction with El Bidri. Can you let us know more about the show itself?
It's about a father and daughter, and it's about the gendered roles in parenthood. And questioning what that is. My dad, my mum died when I was 5, and so I've only ever had my dad. And so my dad had to play my mum and my dad at the same time. And it's just, exploring what that is and how hard it is for him. And as an adult and being a mother myself, just questioning what I am. It's just a beautiful story of love. And unconditional love that love that's unspoken between a child and their dad, and it's a road trip from Ipswich, which is in southeast Queensland, Pauline Hanson country. Yes, 1 in 10 people voted for her. But anyway, it was not about that. And I've got
the library. Let's not go
there. We'll go there.
So it's from Ipswich out to Gadooga. If anyone doesn't know where that is, it's out near Lightning Ridge, and it's on the border of New South Wales and Queensland, and it's kind of desert, beautiful, flat, although Rachel doesn't like it. Beautiful country. And I'm taking my dad back home to country. There's a twist at the end, which I'm not going to say because you need to come to the show.
Yeah, she's not going to say, because where is the show exactly?
Yeah, Northcote Town Hall, as I said, from August the 25th. You can go online now to the Northcote Town Hall website and purchase those tickets. They're on sale.
How beautiful, them two. I just got to say.
Oh, they're so gorgeous, yes. And look, it's a really beautiful story because, as some of you may or may not know, but I'm a creative producer with Obituary Theatre Company. So this is one of the shows that I'm producing, which I'm really proud of. We had Jacob Boehm's Blood on the Dance Floor.
That Ben's producing, you mean, not miscellaneous?
Yeah, sorry. It's my brother Ben's producing. My brother Ben. So, yeah, so, you know, it's really close to my heart. And they are, you know, I've known Tony since when I studied acting at NIDA, actually, in the late 90s, when he used to come and do plays there. He used to act in plays there. So I've known him for almost 20 years now. So he's a really great friend of mine. And Katie's a phenomenal actress, as I said, and playwright. And for some of you that may not know, Obituary Theatre Company is based here in Melbourne. It is the longest running and the leading Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander theatre company in Australia. You know, it's produced some great works, Jack Charles versus the Crown, A Beautiful One Day, as I said, Jacob Boehm's Blood on the Dance Floor. Brilliant, yeah. And that was such a beautiful piece that spoke about Jacob's life and, you know, living and thriving with HIV and being an Aboriginal man and what that meant. And
an Aboriginal gay man.
Aboriginal gay man, yeah, absolutely. And really it was a story of love and it was a really beautiful story. But this work, both of them actually came from the Black Writers Lab, which was an initiative that Obituary Theatre Company set up in 2012, I think it was. It was quite a while ago anyway. So this play, Which Way Home, you know, has been in development for 3 years. And, that's how long it takes to create theatre in Australia. And it takes a lot of time and money. And, you know, we're just so happy that we can back these works and, you know, put the, you know, our big motto at Obituary is, you know, telling our stories, being in control of our stories and, you know, sharing our history, you know, with the rest of Australia. And this is one of those stories that I think, you know, will really touch people's hearts and is just going to be really fantastic. Have you worked with Obituary?
Yeah, I have, but I mainly do workshops with them. I'm actually going to start workshops in August.
Oh, now?
That's, yeah, well, that's here now. She is just going so fast.
I know.
I just said to someone,
I'm so busy in August.
I keep thinking of in bloody July.
I know. I just said, I'm so busy in August. And they said, well, that's now.
That's
so
great.
So you're busy now.
Far out. So, yeah, that's to come. But also, just so you know, that's not the end of the interview. We've got a bit more to come. It goes for another 11 minutes, so please stay tuned for that.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, Sunset Dreaming. That was Yothu Yindi.
Yothu Yindi.
So good. Love them guys. It's a shame he passed away, poor fella.
Darling.
Rest in peace.
I think there's actually, as I mentioned, I'm going to be talking about the NIMA Awards, the National Indigenous Music Awards, coming up in Darwin this Saturday. And I actually think they're doing a special, a special song and celebration to Yothu Yindi.
A tribute. Awesome. A
tribute, yeah, because it's been 30 years since the release of Tribal Voice.
Wow.
Which is incredible. And 25 years since Treaty topped the charts. So, you know, it's a really big year to be celebrating them. And also the subject of Treaty, which I'm sure throughout our show over the coming weeks we'll have lots to talk about.
We actually played that song just on Saturday too for the Don Dale Detention Centre.
Yes.
Which we'll actually have a brief discussion about well, after yeah. this. But yeah, it's amazing how music empowers us and our people and, you know, from what we've been through for 229 years, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, guys, you're on Urban Dreaming 94.9 with Joy Radio. And I'm going to go back straight into the second part of the interviews. Enjoy. Tony, now we all know that you've done so much in the industry. As much as we all know, personally, we should let people know as well. So Tony's a big mover and shaker in the industry, been in shows such as Neighbours, Blue Heelers, Stingers. Yeah, he was in Neighbours. The Man from Snowy River, Ocean Girl, you know, doing a bit of swimming in the ocean there with the mermaids. He's also on the circuit. I'm going way back. I'm bringing it all from the past to the present, man. I'm also the circuit, yeah, which we actually got the chance to work on together. You've done Red Fern Now. It wasn't a big role, but it was still a great role. Yeah. And recently you've been working with Clever Man, which we've mentioned before. You also helped me an award winner with The Sapphires, which was actually performed as a play in 2004.
Mm. It was a stage play in 2005 for the Melbourne Theatre Company, and then went to Belvoir. It had a good season, really good seasons. We sort of, we adapted it for the screen and took, probably, I can't remember, to be honest, dates, 2008 or something. Something like that, yeah. Mm. So it took a while, actually. It took a bit longer than that. What am I talking about? We throughout the, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, throughout the stage play, and reinvented the story as a feature film. And, as part of the process, inevitably you kind of put pieces back together again like a jigsaw puzzle and create a very similar kind of story that existed, that everybody was, everybody was excited about with the stage play, those who'd seen the stage play. So the energy of that was still, we kept it.
It's crazy because your mother was also one of the original Sapphires.
Mm.
As a kid, when you grew up, do you find that it's always been her, what she's done in her past with, and sort of your upbringing in regards to what you're doing now today?
Yeah, well, very much like this play that Katie's written, it was my first attempt at writing anything. And it's not Katie's first attempt at writing anything. It was my first play at writing anything. I didn't realise. It's amazing. You start with what you know and what you're comfortable with and how you want to tell a particular story. You go forth and tell that story that's within you. Being part of this show brings up a lot of memories, and being of the process with this story brings up a lot of memories about the process of what I went through with the Sapphires and the stage play. And there's a lot of letting go, there's a lot of bringing back, there's a lot of mixing things around in the pot, and inevitably things land in the right spot, because what I love about this story is the heart of it. The relationship between the father and the daughter, and it really resonates with me. As I was writing The Sapphires, it just brought me closer and closer to my mother, and then by osmosis, it was an awakening of the closeness the close relationships that I had around that as well. And it started to really, I just appreciated my not that I never did, but even more so appreciated my family.
Mm.
and my friends, and as the story evolved more, my culture, my people within that culture, even more as I was writing it. And then I found that what I've been doing anyhow was, subconsciously, was writing a story for my people, full stop, because I knew that all of my mob would relate to this.
Mm.
And then on an even bigger scale, I realised that everybody can relate to this, and that's the beauty of this story. Everyone can relate to this story because it's about love, and it's about the love of a daughter and a father, and it's about the love of family, it's about the love of your culture, it's about and that's a very, it's subtly, Katie does that really beautifully, because it's really subtle in there, and it's simply about a relationship between two people, so everyone can relate, and that comes from Katie writing from her heart. This story comes from her heart, comes from her, and it was no different with the Sapphire, just a bigger scale, different, setting, all that kind of stuff, but it's exactly the same place, or as with my show, is where it came from.
Mm.
The heart, and out of love, and it's being born out of love, and that's what's beautiful about this, and it just resonated with me straight away.
We tend to like to watch or even listen to things that we connect to, of course, and I find that with writing, especially for countrymen, we tend to write about sometimes hard-hitting topics, sometimes very much is always a general sort of thing that happens to our mob.
Well, why I wrote this story too was because my mum died when I was 5, and so I only ever grew up, my dad had to be my dad and my mum, and so for me, I was always very confused on why I didn't get to watch a show where there's an Aboriginal man. Like, why can't I watch a man? Like, and even when I was seeing Tony with his daughter, like, especially the little one.
I've got 2 daughters, a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. He's the boss of us all.
Yeah.
And anybody who walks in our house, for that matter.
And it's so hilarious. And I just watch how he relates with his children, and like, and how my dad was with me, and how my dad is with my son. I think, why don't I get to see that? Why are we always seeing the Aboriginal man as a drunk? Why are we always seeing him as an abuser? Like, why are we always seeing the Aboriginal man as evil? I never grew up with that. I grew up with, I was surrounded by a lot of strong black men that brought me up, that never abused me, that never molested me, that weren't drunk. So actually, a lot of them never ever drank. So why can't I see more of this? Why can't I see what I seen? And why can't I see the beauty in that? And I wanted to celebrate that and celebrate that life, and, you know.
Well, it's that general stereotype that we go through, and that's what media, I think, tends to play a lot on.
Yeah.
And this is something we need to put a stop to, because we have to make people realise that we are actually, you know, probably only a minority in regards to what they say we are doing as well, because a lot of gutters do the same thing, don't they? And but they're not really shown in the spotlight for it, are they? So, yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because when you think about it now in regards to what's happening in today's world, especially with the Dondale detention centres, what's your view on those subjects right now?
I'm just really upset about the way that those children are being treated, because ultimately they're suffering, they're fucking up their, you know, their neurological path. You know what I mean? They need. Also, I'm running a play for Belvoir. It's about the stolen generation and stuff, and I kind of feel, again, it's a misconstruction by society and everything about Aboriginal people. And even I've spoken to Judds and stuff about why some of the kids are taken and why some of the kids are in detention, and I think it comes down to a cultural misunderstanding, because you've got these young people that are in their 20s, white people, that have never ever seen a black family, that have never understood, you know, a lot of these kids, they say that they're neglected. But they're not neglected. And what they say is neglect is overcrowding. What? Because we have our family. What? We have maybe sometimes 6, 7, 8 people in a 2-bedroom house. A couple in the lounge room, a couple in the bedroom, and a couple in the other bedroom. What is wrong with that? But a white fella will come in from these places and go, oh, maybe there's neglect here.
Yeah, you know? They jump to conclusions. And, you know, I saw somebody commentating recently on this, you know, non-Indigenous person, making a comment about, you know, asking the question is, you know, well, what's going on inside their homes, and maybe we should be looking in the homes. And it's just a simplistic way of looking at the whole issue. It runs far deeper than that. It's about education. It's about many other things. You know, it's not just, you know, you can't, you know, some of these boys, I understand, don't come from bad homes at all. By
exactly.
What, you know. And it does, it's not just happening there. That's the reality of it. It's not just happening there, and it hasn't been happening, and it's not a new thing. You know, this has been going on within our own communities. Mm. It's like Katie says, Katie's implying that it's about understanding a lot more about who we are as human beings, as opposed to what the media like to perpetuate in order to sell their whatever it is they're selling, you know, that's ultimately what it is. And I think you know, some of these irresponsible commentators coming out there talking about, you know, Aboriginal people as if they have any kind of understanding whatsoever only perpetuate the racism that does exist.
Exactly.
And the lies about the history that still exists, and the lack of attention to detail within the education system around the country on what is being taught, you know, so the next generation come through and have a much better understanding. And there's nothing to be scared of. It's just about an understanding. So, you know, it's a huge, huge issue. And I think a lot of people are aware of that. But when some commentators come out and belittle the issue and try to kind of, you know, pour water on it, it doesn't sit well with me at all. I have an 11-year-old boy as well, so that this, you know, hit me right in the heart and my wife. So it's what I see. I see those boys are our boys.
Mm. It's just horrible because, you know, and apparently what, they're going to be moved to detention centres or something now? Is that the new thing that I've seen or read about on social media just lately? Yeah. And I just think, hang on, if we want to help these people, or, you know, if there is something going on, putting him into detention and then treating them like that, and then stuffing with their neurological pathway, and well, that determines on how they grow and how they empathise and how they are with people. So all they're doing is then now creating a breed of, you know,
and breeding more anger and more resentment, more aggressive.
Basically. So that's, I think the thing is, it's punishment on punishment is what they think is the best way, which isn't the way.
It's just disgusting. Mm. You don't treat people, and especially a little child. They're a child. They don't. Children are there. They're learning. Children are sponges. You do not. I get really annoyed when even someone yells at my child or looks at my child. I'm like, he's learning. You don't do that. You don't, you know, and I get very frustrated. These are kids. These are.
So when you put these kind of things, these images, for me, this question is about the types of images that we're always seeing about, you know, our people, you know, whether they're children, whether they're men, whether they're women, whether it's about, you know, removing from communities and their homes, you know, and it's whatever it's about. It's always this negative connotation connected to Aboriginal people, and you know, to go back to what Katie was saying about her reason for writing this show is about putting the positive stories in a public forum that we can look at and go, oh, okay, and start thinking differently. That's one of the reasons why with the Sapphires. It's one of the reasons why I do, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've done over the years is for that reason, to be able to put these, tell the truth and don't shy away from things, but there is another way to look at us, and there is another way of engaging with us.
And I think as Aboriginal people also, like, and I think, you know, and the people that come to our shows are already converted or already done some research into Aboriginal history anyway, because it's mainly white people that come to theatre, I think, myself, personally. And I just think that sometimes they, for some reason, and I question this, is that they, why do they pay to come and see these shows sometimes? Like, these shows with guilt, these shows with, you know, all this anger, these shows with, you know, the history that's being portrayed. Like, the kind of question, why are you coming to see this, and why do they think that we're like, and that's, yeah, what I just wanted to break away.
Part of me thinks that sometimes it's got to do with the fact that there's no real education going on around Aboriginal people. So when we write the stories, like, you know, Which Way Home, we're writing about real people who just happen to be Aboriginal people.
Exactly.
We're writing about, you know, four women who just happen to be Aboriginal, who went to Vietnam, just like those white women who are over there, you know? And, you know, that is so when they see, they go, oh, I never knew this. Of course you don't know this, because you're not being, it's not your fault, but it's, you're just not being shown these stories, you're not being told about these things, so... That's one of the, you know, that's what I like about this show as well.
Exactly. What I just wrote about my dad, and I just wanted my, because my dad has had, actually in the show I say two heart attacks, my dad's actually had four heart attacks, and when my mum died, my dad was, so we lost my nan a month before, my dad's mum, and then we lost his sister 2 weeks later, and my mum, my real mum, in a car, and then my dad was in the car accident, and they got hit by a semi-trailer, and my dad was asleep and fell out the window and only got a broken hand, and we're a matriarchal tribe. So for my dad, that was a huge, huge loss. And then him having his heart attacks, diabetes, arthritis, everything else, I just wanted, just before he died, I just wanted to show him, I love you, Dad. And I didn't know any other way, and I just didn't feel like there was enough saying I love you, you know, and
putting it on the page.
Yeah, and making
immortalizing it.
Yeah. And my dad's really happy. He goes, I'm so glad that you got Tony playing me because he's really handsome.
So there you have it. That's Katie Beckett and Tony Briggs with Which Way Home. And now Which Way?
Which Way, yes. How beautiful to hear about that. And, you know, that story about Katie and her father I just think is so special. And it's funny because it is a really, I find it hysterical, the play, but it has a really, you know, it's a really heartfelt and very moving play as well. So, you know, come along. As I said, it's at Northcote Town Hall. Tickets are on sale now. It's running from the 24th of August to the 4th of September, and you can go to the Northcote Town Hall for details about tickets, or the Obituary Theatre Company website. And as you mentioned, you know, there's great creatives on board. Emily Barry, who's our set and costume designer.
I bet you try to put on a few of those costumes.
Well, you know, Emily just recently did the sets for, sorry, the costumes for, sorry, not the costume, God, what am I trying to say? The set for the Circus Oz show that was just recently on. With
oh wow,
yeah, with that Budju Dale in there, as you know, brother
now, can you,
boy
just,
Dale.
Just for those who don't know language, what does Budju mean?
Well, look, it comes from, you know, I've claimed it. It's a Darwin word, and basically it's a term of endearment. I'm actually not going to tell you what the original word is, but you know, the younger generation, and I'm a younger generation. You know, I'm Y. You know, why are we around? But the Y generation, and basically it's, you know, a term of endearment, someone who's cute, you know, a friend or someone you find hot.
Good looking.
So you can use it in a lot of different ways. So,
but there is the other term, which is, yeah, like we said, is wrong. And
well,
funny.
It's not wrong.
Well, you know, it's a part just... of someone's genitalia.
Yeah,
but what it is, it's a two-way street because, like, there's with language, people got to understand, especially with countrymen, you can go from one language group to the other, say, West Australia to Eastern States, and if you say something wrong...
Completely. Well,
the one word where you think means something is actually something else.
Katie Beckett is a prime example.
I hope you're listening to this.
Yeah, I hope you're listening, because I wrote on her Facebook, I said, hey, happy birthday, Big Budju. And she wrote me a message. She's like, I thought we were friends. And I went, what do you mean? She's like, why did you write that? And I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, and I went, oh. I said, no. I said, look, where we're from, it means something else. So I apologize. And, you know.
And I'm shaking my head here. Yeah. But to be careful, yeah, just make sure, you know, when you do learn these words. And
absolutely.
We're going to be teaching you words throughout this show as well.
Yeah.
Probably a word a day, actually.
Yeah.
Before we do go on, we're running out of time, so we've got to be quick. But I just want to make a quick announcement to, of course, a big, huge congratulations to the War Collective. That's the Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance. And everyone else who was involved in the rallies and the protests across Australia yesterday and the early hours of yesterday morning. The revelations of abuse and torture at the Dondale Detention Centre in Darwin earlier this week contributes to examples of the injustice to the First Nations people of this country. I actually had the chance to go to this rally on Saturday with War to show our support for these young boys who have been in the system for a very, very long time, from the very young ages, and who have been subjected to ongoing physical and mental abuse. This has to stop, and we're going to have probably another conversation, hopefully next week as well, to talk a little bit more about actually the commission, the Royal Commission. So for now on, we're just going to quickly go to a break, and then we're going to have a conversation with my niece all the way from the Kimberleys. She's sitting online now waiting for us, so we better make this happen. All right, you're listening to Urban Dreaming, 94.9 Joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yes, you're on Joy 94.9. And right now on the phone, we have my beautiful niece all the way from the Kimberleys in Derby Town from 6TBY Radio. Hello, Serena.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Excellent. So, welcome to Urban Dreaming. This is the show that you'll be helping us basically do a bit of journalism work from the Kimberleys and allowing us to hear what's going on.
I am happy to help.
That's great. So I want to introduce you to my co-host and, of course, my wonderful, beautiful friend, Miscellaneous.
How are you, darling heart?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fabulous, thank you. I'm very jealous that you're all the way over there. Probably it's probably not as cold as it is here, but it does actually get quite cool over there. But what's it like? What's the weather like there now?
Well, it's windy and it's chilly, and yes, to us, the Kimberleys, it's like freezing.
Freezing, I know. It's like my family in Darwin. It gets to like 19 degrees and they're like, oh, it's got the jumpers out. We're not going out because it's too cold. I'm like, oh, my God, that's summer here.
Yeah, I know. Like, we're like freezing here.
Yeah, but you don't know cold until you come to the eastern states.
That's right. But I'm going to have to get Sir Rummy to show me a photo of you so I know who I'm talking to.
But, she's beautiful. You might be converted after that.
Oh,
actually.
Well, you know, I like to jump a fence here and there.
Yeah.
You know, you never
so
know.
We're here. No, liar. But, yes. Just so you know, this is Serena. This is my beautiful niece all the way from the Kimberleys. Now, just let us briefly know where you work and, what your show is called over there.
I am Serena Buckle. I work at 6DBY, Lulgati Radio. And I produce the Kimberley Catch-Up, which is a interview show from 12 to 1 p.m. I'm also, I'm a radio broadcaster plus a production
I thought you
manager.
Said you're also black then. Yeah, we know you're black.
Of course, black and loving it.
That's it. Black and beautiful.
But, like I said, Uncle Tari, I am a radio broadcaster plus a production manager there, so I produce all the ads and stuff like that at 6DBY.
Awesome. And soon to be manager of 6DBY, hopefully?
I'm not thinking of it at this stage, but I can if I put my mind to it.
Deadly. Well, I just had to introduce you. I know it's pretty late there, but it's extremely late here. So thank you for sitting up and waiting for this phone call. And, can't wait to start the ball rolling with you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we can talk about a lot of stuff that's happening around the Kimberley. And I know that you wanted to touch base on language and culture and just Indigenous, content, basically, in general.
Yes, exactly, because that's what the show is about, urban dreaming. Because even though you're in the city or the bush, it doesn't matter. You can still be in touch with the spirit and your culture. So thank you once again, Serena. So good to have you on board. And Galio.
So great to meet you, and I can't wait to have some more chats over the following weeks.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I hope that Uncle Siri shows you a photo of me that's, really sexy on myself.
I will, yes. And, what we might do, actually, because we've got a Facebook page now, Urban Dreaming, so you can go on Facebook, everyone, and check that out. And, we'll put a photo of you up there as well so everyone can
see
the sexy us up there.
Yeah, all right. See who is there for listening to. But, thank you very much for inviting me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. Yeah.
Deadly. All right, Galio Mabo, love you, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, well.
No worries. Bye. Have a good time.
Joy. Well, the time is 11:57. We don't have much time left, but we do want to go over a couple of things before we do leave.
Yes. Time flies when you're having fun, they say, isn't it?
It does indeed.
And look, you've done really well, Sir Rummy, I must admit, on your little first show there behind the desk, because, ladies and gentlemen, I just sit back and drink martinis. He does all the work. So,
oh, my God.
He's like a little octopus over there. He's like trying to get everything done while I just stare at him.
It's great.
And,
But for you to be here is just
no. Look, I'm so excited, and thank you for having me a part of this show. But as I said, yes, we do have a couple of things that are happening nationally, ladies and gentlemen. We have the NEEM Awards, as I spoke about, which is the National Indigenous Music Awards, happening at the Amphitheatre in Darwin on Saturday, and I'm going to be there. Miscellaneous is going to be there. So, folks, make sure you come along and say hello. And I'm going to be hosting all the backstage gossip for NITV. For that, so please come along. We've got Shelley Morris, Warren H.B. Williams. Oh, gosh, there's so many people. David Spry, I think Briggs is going to be there. And ladies and gentlemen, Juki Mala is doing a special, exclusive, specially choreographed performance to Treaty. So that's one not to be missed.
Wow.
We also have what's coming up, Sir Rummy?
Oh, yes, we've also got the Dance Rights competition, which actually will be held in Sydney. Now, I do have a bit of info, but it's on the other side. Basically, Dance Right competitions, its registrations have been extended because today was the due date, but now no longer. It can be sent through before the 15th of August. There are only 2 weeks left, so don't miss out, please. Registration is open to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities who have or would like to develop a dance group. You can visit the Dance Right's website, and that's on www.sydneyoperahouse.com/whatsondancerights app, basically, or simply call 9250-7944. That's 9250-7944 for more information. You can win up to $20,000 first prize, and second is $5,000. Good luck, guys. We've got probably 10 seconds left, guys.
10 seconds, gosh.
So we'll have to save the rest for next week. Really, really love you guys joining in with us for our very first show of Urban Dreaming.
We did it. We got through.
We did it.
Yes.
And all the best, guys. Take care of yourselves. Love and light to you all.
Yowl.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.